Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases. Dr. Rebecca Carlin.
Namaste, and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America, one of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff, or management, but represent the views and opinions of the hosts, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information that I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarly.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases, and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know to my list. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune disease, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information that myself and my guests share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, where we have been lied to about everything. And each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, what's ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, causing all autoimmune diseases and cancer, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, the once feeble calls for cease and desist are becoming the roaring outcry which will bring about the evolution of consciousness necessary to change everything. The next step in human evolution is to take responsibility for our lives and those in our care. to live in a sacred way, to do unto others and the earth as we would want done to ourselves. So please spread the word about these broadcasts. And remember, as Voltaire stated, we are not only responsible for what we do, but also for what we don't do. In other words, folks, silence is consent. I thank the American's Bulletin for sponsoring this show. The American's Bulletin is one of the last bastions of a non-controlled, non-corporate press. Recent issues have carried articles on the planned use of water as a weapon, the true purpose behind the Social Security number, whether or not taxes are legal, how the financial system has been tweaked to make you a slave of the state, what you can do about it, alternative health, the vaccination issue, and a whole lot more. You can subscribe to the American's Bulletin by visiting the website, AmericansBulletin.com, or by calling 541-773-2756. The American's Bulletin, because you need to know the truth. Only $40 a year, folks, 6 issues a year. It's a First Amendment forum for free-thinking people, and one of the journalists, Janet Phelan, is a regular contributor to the show. She is to journalism what I am to vaccines. And I would like to also remind you that I'm now also on www.republicbroadcasting.org every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time for 2 hours. So if you have time during the day, that's another broadcast that you need to listen to. On tonight's show, we will answer the question, what's ailing America, with the Mothers Act, with our special guest, Amy Philo, and she's going to be talking to us about how these criminals in the District of Criminals are now actually trying to bring about a law that's going to force pregnant women to be evaluated on a psychiatric basis, despite the fact that there's also concurrently a suit involving the Paxil drug and heart defects in babies. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It is unbelievable. But before I bring Amy on, I just want to put out a special tribute to an attorney in California by the name of Jeff Zaret, who contacted me a couple of weeks ago, a mover and shaker who was about to get ready to involve me in multiple vaccine injury cases, and he was going to be the attorney and I was going to be the court-qualified expert, and he was found dead the night before last. I smell a rat, folks, and this is what's going on. The powers that be are coming after those people who are trying to shine a light on the evil that is vaccination, which cause all autoimmune diseases and cancer. And if you heard my show with Steve Tweeden yesterday on republicbroadcasting.org, he talked about the fact that he has been contacted by the FBI and told that he is being considered as an economic terrorist. In other words, anyone who speaks the truth about those things that are killing us, we are now terrorists on an economic basis because the powers that be, the prostitutes in Washington that are having money stuffed in their back pockets to force us to be poisoned with psychiatric drugs, vaccinations, pesticides, you name it. Of course, they're basically saying that this is an important thing for our economy. They don't give a crap about our health. And they consider people like Steve Tweeden and myself terrorists. Well, folks, if that's okay with you, if you're going to remain an ostrich and do nothing, you will be amongst the dead. And I hope that all of you listening will be motivated to do whatever your spirit leads you to do. Tell others about the broadcast. You do not have to become a sacrificial lamb yourself. But do whatever your spirit leads you to do. Because we can change everything. And once we reach critical mass, it's going to happen in a heartbeat. It's not the end times. It's the beginning of the good times. And on that note, I would like to bring our special guest, Amy Philo. I encourage you to go to her website, uniteforlife.org. Are you there, Amy?
I'm here.
Well, thank you
that
so much.
That intro really kind of scares you when you're hearing about
it. Scares you?
When you sound dead and, yeah.
Okay. Well, my goal is not to scare people. I mean, they've tried to kill me a few times. You see,
really?
There's nothing to fear but fear itself. The Creator is in charge, and I do not intend to scare people. My goal is to let people know that this is how evil these minions are. They've taken my only child. They've taken away my medical license. They've tried to kill me. They've killed others. This is what they do. So if that's okay with you and you want to pay your tax dollars to, you know, support this, then just continue to do nothing. But what you have to realize, Amy, is there are so many people waking up. They are not going to be able to get to the, you know, just the emailers and the people calling others or whatever. You know, that's going to be way down the line. The point is to not be afraid, because when you stand up to evil, it's funny what happens. Let me just tell you one of the most, funny stories that I have in all my years of doing what I'm doing. Before they took my only child, I was in Kmart one day, and I had two men that were following me around Kmart. They had on those black suits with the small pinstripes and those mirrored sunglasses, and let's just say I knew that they weren't your regular Kmart shoppers. I didn't know what they had up their sleeve, but I smelled a rat. And so I sent out a silent prayer asking the question, what should I do? And the answer came immediately, confront them. So I spun around on my heels. I looked them right in the mirrored sunglasses, and I said to the boys, what are you boys shopping for today? They ran away from me so fast you could see sparks coming out of their shoes. And so my message to people is, do not be afraid of these people. Yes, I'm sure there's probably an entire legion of individuals making a living off listening to my phone calls, monitoring my emails, doing whatever they're doing. But you know what? Those people are going to be killed with vaccinations and water as a weapon and pesticides and all these things as well. So the good news is that people that are part of these organizations, these alphabet agencies, the NSA and whatever other black ops operations they have out there, they're starting to realize that they're going to be affected as well. And one by one, they're coming forward with their information. And once enough of us are presenting our information to all of you, and once you realize that we are the evil empire, and we are bringing about the New World Order, and we don't have to do it. It can be the exact opposite of what the minions plan on, you know, basically a slave state. That's what's going to happen. We are going to change everything. So that's the good news. And I just want to also mention quickly that on April 19th, I will be giving a talk in Chicago at a chiropractors convention. There's going to be over 500 chiropractors there. If any of you in the Chicago area would like to meet me in person, please contact me, and I will tell you how you can attend that conference. Also, I encourage all of you that are able to go to Washington, D.C., on June 4th to attend the rally being organized by Generation Rescue, where I am praying that I will be allowed to speak to the group to let them know that it's not just autism, all autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, and cancer are caused by vaccines. And once we get the army of autistic parents hooked up with everybody else, we are going to stop this Holocaust on people and pets. And that's going to just be the, you know, straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of all the things happening in this country, all the lies we're being told, the fake war in Iraq, et cetera, et cetera. It's all going to come crumbling down. And what I encourage all of you to look at this time is a very exciting time to be alive. I'm not scared at all. We are going to take care of business, and we are going to show the evil that they're not going to be allowed to continue with their program. So sorry for that, you know, long introduction there, Amy. But if you could explain to our listeners, what's up with this Mother's Act? What is it? Who thought of this crap? And what can the people do to stop it?
Okay. There's this woman in 2001 who was a pharmaceutical rep who had a baby. And who knows whether or not she was already on drugs immediately after the birth or before, but she developed postpartum psychosis and committed suicide, but she had been treated with multiple combinations of drugs and electroshock.
Okay, so question. And isn't suicide one of the side effects of these drugs?
Absolutely. The mood stabilizers and the antidepressants have a black box warning for suicide, and the risk is at least doubled, if not greater. I read one study that said with Paxil it was 8 times greater.
Whoa.
Yeah, and antipsychotic drugs also lead to suicide because they damage your brain way more severely, and they drive you to suicide, especially if you're in withdrawal. And Melanie Stokes is the name of this woman who committed suicide, and she had been put through 4 different combinations of drugs in only a few months, and she'd been sent to the hospital 3 times in 7 weeks and given the shock treatment. And so her mother wanted to get some laws passed to require research and universal screening and treatment and early detection. And they want to treat pregnant women, and they want to treat nursing women with drugs and hospitals. They don't really want to help them in any possible safe way. They just want to make sure that pharmaceutical companies get the most money out of everyone. So the Mothers Act was introduced in 2001. It's failed several times, at least 3 times, but they just keep reintroducing it, and this year it passed in the House by a 2-thirds majority, and it's in the Senate right now. So what I did was I started a petition, and I've been calling the Senate frequently and lobbying against it, and we also have a TapWiz software program set up where you can go and send a letter to your senator, and we have the contact information for every senator on this committee. It's under Edward Kennedy. And everyone can go and send in their faxes or call the senators. We want everyone to do that. Because they don't
Wait. You're going too fast. Slow down, Amy.
Okay.
First of all, where can they go? Mention the site again where they can go to petition the senators to stop this insidious and ridiculous bill.
Okay. If you go to the main page of my website, it's unitesforlife.org.
Okay, spell it out. Spell it out so the listeners can write it down. Go slowly.
Okay, UNITESORLIFE. UniteForLife.org.
Okay.
So the petition link is on the front page of my website, and so is the CapWiz software link. It says Activism Alert, and if you click on this link for a website called wellnessresources.com, then it will take you there, and you can sign a letter that will go to your state senators.
Okay.
And then there's a link on my main page that goes to the phone numbers and the fax numbers for all the Senate Help Committee members.
Okay.
It's at HELP, the Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee.
And what's the number of this ridiculous bill?
It's S-1375.
Okay. And did you research to find out these minions that are supporting this, what are their pharmaceutical ties? Have you been able to do that?
Yeah. The top 2 pharmaceutical recipients this year are Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. And they
Barack Obama?
Uh-huh.
Barack Obama is supporting this?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Okay,
yeah.
That's
important. He's been a co-sponsor since, I think, October. No, wait, October was when it passed. But he's been a co-sponsor for a long time. It passed in the House in October. Hillary Clinton signed on the 25th of February.
So no matter which Democrat you go with, you're going to end up having pregnant women being psychiatrically evaluated.
Yes.
What about John McCain? What's his view on this ridiculous situation?
He is not a co-sponsor, but I don't know what he would do if it came up for a vote, but hopefully he would vote against it.
Well, he's obviously
in the House, there are only 3 no votes. One of them was Ron Paul, and then one was Jeff Flake. There's some other person, I can't remember his name. And then there were 46 people who abstained.
Yeah, because they're too afraid to go along with the program, because possibly they're up for election or whatever. I'm just curious, since this woman that you mentioned was on all these psychiatric drugs, of which suicide is a side effect, how did they twist this around to say that pregnant women need to be evaluated to be put on the very drugs that are going to cause them to commit suicide, especially when fetal harm is also a known side effect? How did that happen?
Well, I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. But
right.
Her husband is a doctor. The woman who died, her husband's a doctor. Her mother, who knows what her mother is, I don't know. But, I mean, she works for pharma, so I'm sure that the first thing they thought was, let's try to do more if I can get a better pill or some sort of treatment that'll work.
We need a better pill, right. Okay.
Well, you know, Prozac, they made a slightly less dangerous Prozac, but they never marketed it. They got the patent approved, and the application said that it had a lower risk of self-harm and suicide. But that one is just sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Does that drug have a name?
It's just a derivative of Prozac called something, I can't remember. It's like fluoxetine is the scientific name for Prozac, but some sort of name modified from that.
Fluoxetine light, maybe.
Oh, no.
Well, and see, eventually people are going to have to realize, Amy, that population reduction is the plan here. I mean, what other explanation could you possibly have for why these minions would continue to support a bill that's going to cause increased suicide, more fetal harm, and, of course, there's also the aspect of the chemical lobotomy that's caused by psychiatric drugs. Before they invented all these psychiatric drugs, they used to have to take an ice pick, stick it up people's noses, and actually cause a physical lobotomy where you separate the frontal lobes of the brain, which are responsible for reasoning capability, cognitive functions, etc. They used to physically separate that with an ice pick. That's how they used to do it. But now they're able to do that with psychiatric drugs. And as these minions are bringing about the New World Order, creating a terrorist global situation, basically causing the country to go bankrupt, opening up the borders, allowing all these free trade agreements to pass, bringing us into the North American Union, basically making our natural supplements a prescription item under Codex, which, of course, any doctor that writes a prescription for a supplement will lose their medical license. As all of these things are happening, they want to make people not able to think. That's the ultimate goal. And that's what
Absolutely.
People have to realize. These people in Washington do not have your best interests at heart. They are sold out. They are taking cash from all of these different lobbyists, especially the pharmaceutical cartels, and they are trying to pass laws that are going to create, I can't even imagine, this is something that Hitler would envy, where you become pregnant. You go to the doctor, you become pregnant, and all of a sudden you have to be examined psychologically to see if you're, like, capable of becoming a mother. I mean, there must be other aspects to this bill. Amy, please explain to the listeners, is it just psychiatric drugging, or are they going to be able to basically take possession of the fetus by social services before it's even born? What are their plans?
Yeah, well, it does mention in the bill case management and hospitalization and transportation. They also want to give grants to any nonprofit that's willing to help enforce the law. They want to give
enforce
the grants to states.
Wait a minute, enforce the law. Wait, you got to go slower. Nonprofit that's willing to help enforce the law. What nonprofit?
Well, there are a lot of nonprofits pushing for this bill, and one of them is Ready to Go. They're ready to start walking around and making sure doctors are reporting women and checking on women and everything, and they've got some people in every state, or 20 states or so at least, ready to check up on midwives and doctors and different prenatal
care. Those evil midwives have to.
Right. Anybody who does prenatal care.
Right. And you see, the whole concept of the Hippocratic Oath, which basically, first of all, says first do no harm, so what a joke as to what the white coats are doing now, but part of the Hippocratic Oath is that you will keep confidential anything that is, you know, told to you by your patient. That's like a sacred thing, and that has been so twisted around now to where the doctors become, you know, reporters of the patients, no matter what. They ask you, do you have guns in your house? Do you have well water? all kinds of weird stuff. And they're reporting all these things to government agencies, especially the pediatricians, which are contributing to the theft of children away from families, especially for, quote-unquote, medical neglect if they're not vaccinating. These people cannot be trusted, and they will report you in a heartbeat. And that whole HIPAA law, which is supposed to be all about, keeping your medical records confidential, is actually the exact opposite thing. Has anybody in your group researched these nonprofits to see who's actually funding them? I bet you Big Pharma has a hand in that.
I have been researching them, and some of them are actually managed by Eli Lilly or GlaxoSmithKline. And then they have contracts with other groups that are also co-sponsors of the bill that are, they'll stand to get huge grants. And one of the really disturbing things about this is that the American College of Nurse Midwives is also a co-sponsor of this bill.
Whoa. So that tells you that there's been infiltration of that group as well.
Yeah, and I contacted them to ask them to reconsider, and I did call, and she said maybe we will, what we're going to think about it, and haven't heard back yet, but hopefully they'll wake up. But I don't know if most people have even heard of this thing about antidepressants at all. I think most people believe antidepressants are safe and effective because that's what you see in the news all the time.
Well, just like vaccinations, but that is so important what you just said, and I want to point this out to people, that the way that these minions, that's all I can call them, the way that they operate is they go into the groups, like midwives, that's a sacrosanct group. Midwives are the ones that are performing home births. I mean, you know, the birth has become like a pathological situation. And I went through this myself, where they lay you flat on a table, you know, which is exactly opposite of the gravity situation that would conduce you giving birth to a baby. If you squat down on the floor, you know, that's going to help the baby be born. But instead, they put you flat on a table, put your feet up in stirrups, give you an epidural, which basically paralyzes you from the waist down. And they've done all of these different things to basically make the birth process into a medical thing. So we have the midwives who are there to help mothers deliver naturally. And obviously they have infiltrated that group, and this is what they always do, through either threat and intimidation or through very large payoffs. They get these people to support such a corrupt, bill such as this. This is unbelievable that a midwife...
Well, I can tell you also that there are two major, like, natural groups out there that are very pro-natural in those things. But if you go on their website, like, they talk about psychiatric drugs, like, left and right for breastfeeding women and pregnant women. And a Mothering magazine issued an article endorsing using Zyprexa while you're breastfeeding.
Oh, my God. What, it's like considered a free dose of psychiatric drugs to the newborn?
Yeah, well, I mean, babies could... die immediately, the risks of coma and seizure and SIDS is so high with these drugs, especially if it's during pregnancy. And stillbirth is doubled if you're taking an antidepressant. But an antipsychotic drug, I mean, what in the world do you have to be thinking to even consider that safe for a breastfeeding baby?
It's insane! It's insane. I mean, the mad scientists are in charge of the asylum. And as I mentioned in the introduction, and this was actually one of those commercials on television, that there's now a class action suit against the makers of Paxil because babies are having heart defects because of the drug. So please tell the listeners, Amy, how can they possibly be recommending that mothers get psychiatric drugs while at the same time they're having class action lawsuits about the side effects of the drugs being given to the pregnant women? How does that work?
Well, I think what's happening is that, I mean, we have fluoride in our water, and we have, like, millions of people taking these drugs in our country, and they're kind of, like, mind control substances.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that from personal experience, because I did take Zoloft for 5 months, and I was very confused, and I didn't know what to do, so I just listened to my doctor, basically. And, I mean, if people are under this control, then they're going to take whatever they're told to do. And another scary thing is that this bill would cause millions of women to have to go through this bogus screening and get labeled with a disorder, but they recently took away the right for anyone with a history of mental illness to own a gun.
Yeah.
So what we're looking at here is the implication that, like, most families in the country are probably going to wind up with their wife being labeled as depressed sometime between the time she's pregnant and has a baby and the baby turns 1 year old. But, I mean, there's this program called Teen Screen, and they do screening of school children up through high school, and 90% of those children who get screened go on psychiatric drugs after the screening.
Wait, say that again,
90%? 90%. It's not in every school yet, but, I mean, it's very hard to pass the teen screen because they're vague. There's 10 vague questions. And if you answer one wrong, then they might label you suicidal.
So basically, between the teens that are being screened and between the pregnant mothers that are being screened and between the military that's being labeled as post-traumatic stress disorder, how many families are we going to have in this country that are not labeled as having a psychiatric illness, which would take away their right to have a gun, which obviously the powers that be don't want people to have guns, because as they continue to take their mask off, people might get pissed. So it's very obvious what's happening. And I just have to say, you are such a special person. The fact that you have gotten involved in this, you are a mom. I would like you to tell the listeners the story of how you got involved in this. And I want the listeners to listen very carefully. Because, you see, Amy Philo is an example of what one person can do. And if we had more Amy Philos in this country, the party would be over for these minions. You have to take responsibility for what's happening around you. And when you see the wrong thing being done, you have to step up to the plate. And if we had more people doing this, these people would be totally exposed. So, first of all, I'm sending you a big hug. I am so proud of what you're doing. But if you could tell the listeners the story of how you got involved in this, because you're a mom, as you said, you were given these psychiatric drugs. What road did you take, did the Creator put you on, to make you the warrior for truth that you are today?
Okay, well, I should start by telling everyone that I had a hospital birth with Isaac, just like you described with yours, and it wasn't what I wanted, and after Isaac was born, we had a lot of trouble in the beginning, and I was kind of insecure about breastfeeding and whether or not he was getting fed enough, and when he was 3 days old, we had taken him in to get checked for jaundice at the hospital. They sent us home with some formula, and he threw it up after we fed it to him. And then when he was sleeping, he looked like he was turning blue, and I couldn't wake him up. And it was just a little bit of his skin around his mouth and on his hands and feet, and he felt really cold. And since I couldn't wake him up, I called 911, and they came out, and they sent me to the hospital again. And as soon as we got to the hospital, he started to throw up again. But whatever was in there from that bottle couldn't be digested, and it was really kind of thick, and it got stuck in his throat, and he started turning red, and then he started turning purple. And I pulled the little emergency button, and they rushed in and did backflows and stuck tubes in his throat and his nose, and all the stuff came out. And he was okay, but they wanted to watch him, so I got really nervous about feeding him, and I was crying a lot because he just almost died.
Yeah.
It's a three-day-old baby.
Wait, so, can I just ask you, did he get the hepatitis B at birth, the vaccine?
I was kind of stupid back then. I didn't know any better. He got everything he could think of until he was 12 months old. So.
Okay. So that's the reason that all these things happened. Okay, but go ahead. But I just wanted to ask that because the idea of giving a hepatitis B vaccine to a baby, I mean, obviously the babies are not having IV drug parties and, you know, orgies in the nursery. This whole idea of the hepatitis B vaccine is insane. And I guarantee you, that that's the reason that he had all these problems after he was born. But obviously for a mom to have to watch their baby turn blue and go through all these things, talk about torture. And I'm sure that the white coats never even asked you about the vaccine. The possibility of a vaccine reaction was not even considered, correct?
No, it was not. And they did tell me they thought that the reason his skin had been turning blue was because he had high hemoglobin from having been vacuum extracted. And to me, that seemed really, really wrong at the time. But I didn't really understand anything that was going on other than I just wanted to make sure he was okay. And I didn't feel like I understood why he had choked. And so I was really nervous about feeding him. But they said if I breastfed it, he would be okay, not to worry. And I had a panic attack the next day. And then the day after that panic attack, a nurse came to my house to check on us, and she decided that I was way too anxious and
Who came to check on you?
It was a home health nurse that makes a follow-up visit when you have a baby at a hospital.
Right. Did you ask for this?
Your house.
Did you ask for this, or you did?
No, I did not ask. It was like an automatic thing.
Right. This was one of the benefits they gave you, right? Send a spy into the home.
Yeah, they just came into the house, and she called my doctor for me and told them that I was way too anxious and said, this is an emergency. You need to get her in right now, like as soon as possible, and she needs drugs.
Right.
And I believed that it was possible that I needed them, but I wasn't quite sure about it. And I didn't really know anything about them. So when I went to my doctor the next day, I asked him if he could check my blood for thyroid abnormalities because I have hypothyroidism.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe there was something wrong with it, and he didn't want to check it.
Really?
So then
why not?
He refused to check it. He just said, oh, there are no valid levels of postpartum thyroid hormones.
Oh, bullshit. Okay, go ahead.
And then I think he probably just wanted me on the drugs anyway because I started to tell him why I was there and stuff, and he didn't have time to listen to me, so he interrupted me and said, I just want to know what the home health nurse said. So I told him, well, she said that I was very anxious and that I needed drugs. And that's when he said, okay, let me go get you a sample. I'll be right back. And he came back with a 50-milligram package of solder pills of Zoloft. And the label had been removed, and I didn't realize at the time that samples are supposed to have labels on them.
The label, wait a minute. The label had been removed?
Yeah.
So
he
just gave you a pill.
Except, like, the cardboard wrapper.
He just gave you a pill, and he wanted you to swallow this without even knowing what it was?
Well, no, I knew it was Zoloft, but I didn't have a warning sheet. Package label.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know, I didn't know it could cause suicide when I took it.
Okay.
And
also,
I took it for three days.
Okay, wait. I just want to also ask you. Obviously, he's just going basically on what the home health nurse said. Why did he even have you come into his office? He could have just had the home health nurse there sending him a fax, Amy Philo needs a drug. What was the whole purpose of him having you to come into the first place? And second place, you're breastfeeding the baby. He obviously knew this. Did he ever consider the side effects to the baby of drinking breast milk that's got this drug in it?
You know what he told me about that? He said it'll make the baby happy too.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what goes through his mind, but when I ended up having suicide and homicidal thoughts, or suicidal thoughts and homicidal thoughts, and we called him and said, hey, the pharmacist told us this is probably because of the Zoloft. He goes, no, that's total garbage. Don't listen to the pharmacist. She has no business interfering with this treatment plan.
Okay, what is this doctor's name? Please tell the listeners his name and where is he located.
Okay, I don't know if he's in practice anymore, but his name is Dr. Arthur H. Aaron.
Arthur who?
H, the initial, middle, initial H, Baron, B-E-A-R-O-N.
Okay.
And he was in Minneapolis.
Okay.
He actually has five, well, maybe three or four different offices all around the Metroplex of St. Paul, Minneapolis.
And he will rot in hell for what he did to you. But obviously, that is what got you to become an activist. So little did he know what he was doing by his words, of his lies. This is like, it's making me feel sick to my stomach just to hear you talk about this. But please do.
There's another doctor out there who promotes this to breastfeeding groups. His name is Dr. Thomas Hale.
Hale?
Thomas Hale.
H-A-L-E.
He has a book out on medications and mother's milk. And everyone who's a breastfeeding activist seems to think of him as like the god of helping breastfeeding women. But he's very extremely pro-antidepressant.
So his attitude is also that antidepressants make a happy baby because they get it through the breast milk. It's like a freebie.
I don't think he's quite that extreme, but he doesn't think that it's unsafe. He thinks it's totally helpful to the mother and that the side effects are minimal. And he recommends Zoloft, actually. He thinks Zoloft is the safest, and then he thinks Paxil is the second safest.
Right.
Or maybe it was Celexa, one of those.
Right. They become vitamins. And I guarantee you that if you checked out the, you know, the contributions of these people or whatever monies they're getting from the pharmaceutical companies, you would find that they're getting money stuffed in their back pocket, just like the legislators that are promoting this ridiculous Mothers Act.
Yeah. Well, example of what I was going to mention earlier, when you mentioned how the legislators all get the money from pharma and stuff, and everyone seems to know that, but if you've ever called the Senate to complain about anything or ask a question, I don't know if you've ever been given straight answers, but I haven't, and I called a couple of days ago to somebody's office, and this person just happened to be a major pharmaceutical recipient, too, but the secretary almost refused to give me her name. And she almost refused to give me any answers. And she actually said, okay, where are you calling from and who are you calling with? And I said, well, my name's Amy Filo. I'm calling from Texas, and I'm calling with myself. I'm a voter.
Right.
You know, I'm not calling from some sort of person that's going to give them some money.
Right. That's the question. Right. So what happened after you gave them that information?
That was at the end of the phone call. She was trying to hang up on me, and I said, well, I just want to know who I'm talking to. And she's like, is there anything else I can help you with? I'm like, yeah, who am I speaking with? But I didn't really ever get any straight answers, and they usually just tell you to go look on the Senate website.
Right.
And they try to discourage you from calling again, and they try to discourage you from doing anything about it. And I was trying to arrange a hearing or something. I didn't really know what I was able to do, and she said, well, you know that you can't talk at a public hearing, and all you can do is listen. It's pretty much like C-SPAN. You might as well just stay at home and watch TV.
Go back to sleep, right.
Yep.
So, Amy, how did you get off these drugs, and how did you realize what had been done to you, and how did you get the strength to do what you're doing now?
Well, I got off of them after about 5 months because I started to realize that no matter how long I stayed on them, they were making me worse. And I had homicidal thoughts about my baby every single day that I took that drug after the third day on. And it got worse and worse, and I raised the dose twice at the recommendation of my psychiatrist. I'd never seen a psychiatrist until I wound up taking Zoloft, and then I went psychotic on it. And they referred me to the ER, the psych hospital, and then I had to go to visits with her, follow up and stuff. So my mom also showed me a website that had a bunch of stories of people like me. I think it was the drugawareness.org website. When I saw that, I kind of understood that my mom had tried to tell me this for the whole time that I was taking Zoloft, and I wouldn't listen to her. And I finally started listening, and I just decided I was going to get off of it, and I tapered off of it over, like, maybe a month. And it's kind of scary to do that just because when you withdraw, you feel worse.
Yeah.
But then once you get it out of your system and you start taking a lower dose, you start feeling better. And then it's totally out of your system and you feel like you're a human being again instead of just a, like a weirdo, like some sort of walking zombie. And after that happened, I started getting involved with educating the public on it online. And then I heard about the Mother's Act a few months ago. And to me, it just represents what happened to me happening, like, even more than it already does every day to babies. And I don't think it's fair to all these babies that can't speak up for themselves to have to be drugged as soon as they're born or before they're born and have to possibly die from the drugs. I don't think
not
it's fair to torture women this way.
Right. Not only happening to women, but being legislated that they must undergo this evaluation, you know, once they're deemed pregnant. This is totally insane. And like
yeah.
I said, there's class action lawsuits being waged at the same time in regards to the side effects of the drugs causing fetal harm. So how can they possibly suggest that women should be taking these drugs when it's known to cause fetal defects of all kinds? How can
what their main thing is that the psychiatrists put out articles about how depression is so dangerous and how a pregnant woman could end up not eating right or she could neglect herself or neglect her children and their social and intellectual development will be put at risk or they might be malnourished or whatever. And stupid, like, arguments that people actually will eat and believe and they're just fed these lies and nobody really wakes up to it. And I know that, like, on NPR, they had some stories about Paxil a couple years ago, and they interviewed one mom, and they were like, so you're going to take it while you're pregnant? And she's like, yeah, I'm going to take it while I'm pregnant. The risk is only, like, 1% greater than if I'm not taking it, so I don't see why I should have to go off my drug and get depressed and suicidal or homicidal. I mean, I'm just going to keep taking it. But, I mean, is it really worth it? I mean, I have a friend, her name's Julie Edgington, and her baby was only exposed to Paxil for a few weeks, and she found out she was pregnant right after she started taking it. She asked if she should get off of it, and her doctor told her he didn't think it was that unsafe and it'd probably be okay. He's got a life-threatening heart defect that he's going to have for his whole life. And she has to live with this every day. I mean, if you think you're depressed now, wait until your baby dies. Or wait until
right.
you have to spend the rest of your life, like, feeling guilty because your baby has a horrible heart condition that could kill him at any time. And you have to take him in for treatment all the time. It's just not worth it.
It's insane. It's totally insane. And the fact that they're pushing this on the mothers, I mean... And I take my hat off to you once again that you're actually coming forward publicly and admitting that you had homicidal feelings towards your baby, and this is a side effect of the drug. So imagine actually killing your own child after you take this drug, and yes, there are some people that use it as a defense when such a thing happens, but it's very rare that they're allowed to bring that even into the courtroom because the courts are totally corrupt as well. So just imagine the horror of that and how that's going to affect so many families down the line that, you know, mothers can be driven to the point of killing their own babies. And I read what you wrote on your website about what happened to you, and all I can say is that I just bless your mom for finally waking you up. See, a problem is that a lot of times it's like a generational thing. You know, children don't want to listen to their parents. And so if your parent tells you something, you're going to go the opposite way just to be, you know, against the parent. But obviously your mother knew what the truth was. And thank
yeah.
God that you listened and that you saved yourself and your child, and now you're trying to save others. Unfortunately... I'm not saying that I don't encourage people to contact their legislators and try to stop this, but you see, they're all whores, and they've all basically signed up, the ones who have signed up, that they're going to pass this. So what would you recommend to the people? How did you get out of this? Because you had this home health nurse coming into your home that's basically letting a spy into your personal space. What can you tell the listeners is how to, you know, extricate themselves and save themselves and their children from the government?
Well, there is one thing you can do that I'm not sure how it would be held up in court, but you could make an advance directive against any mental health treatment or drugging and have it notarized and witnessed. And I filled mine out, and I went and got it notarized, and we filled one out for our children and one for my husband. You can refuse to have your insurance company pay for any treatment. And when I was in the hospital for 2 days in the psychiatric ward, the bill was $8,000.
Wow. 2 days, $8,000?
Yeah, I'm thinking for the $8,000, I should have had a nicer room with some bed, like breakfast in bed. And
yeah, filet mignon, yeah.
Okay, better than the shower. And
this is very important, Amy. Where do people get access to that advance directive?
There's a blank form on my website that you can download and then fill it out. And if you want to ask me what I put down for the specific reasons, you can email me.
Okay.
I basically just put, I refuse all treatment, and these are the reasons. And one of them was, like, I'm breastfeeding. And the other one was, I could become pregnant, and I don't want my genes damaged, my future children, and stuff like that.
Okay. Once again, your website is uniteforlife.org, and your
yep.
email address is accessible on that website, correct?
It's amy@uniteforlife.org.
Okay.
And my phone number is on the website, too.
Okay. And God bless your husband for standing by you through all this. What does he think about what's happened to you and your family?
At first, I was really afraid he was going to leave me, and as soon as I told him I was having thoughts about hurting Isaac and that I was really scared, he went with me to the hospital, and I was, like, afraid that he was going to walk out the door and take Isaac, and I would probably never see him again. And he was just right there by my side and very supportive, and
God bless.
Put up with a lot of stuff in the last few years from me listening to me gripe about drugs almost every moment of the day.
But now he knows that was a side effect of the drugs, right?
Yeah, he does.
God bless him.
That is a real man.
That is a real man.
Yeah.
Give him a hug from me, because there's so few men, and I have nothing against men. Listen up, folks. But you see, the men are supposed to be the protectors. And if the men were protecting the people, their own families, we would not be in this situation. Unfortunately, most of them are watching the game, drinking the cold ones, you know, basically doing whatever they're doing, going hunting. They're not protecting their own. We need the men to be the protectors of the families. That's what their job is.
Yeah, another thing that people should do is, when I had my second baby, I decided to go with a midwife, and I had a home birth. And when she asked me those silly invasive questions about my mental health, I just always answer positively, no matter if I was sad that day or not. And I think that's kind of pathetic. You can no longer trust your midwife, but I'm not going to say that I never get sad, but I'm not going to tell her that if I am.
Since when is getting sad evidence of mental illness? My God, living in this world that we're living in today, watching our country go down the toilet, who's not going to get sad? That is so ridiculous.
I know. And that's another thing about this bill, is that they're saying it's supposed to support women and help them, but if there's anybody who's halfway awake, they're not going to want to reach out for help anymore.
Exactly. And they can't trust their, quote-unquote, health care providers. So we're running out of time.
They can't even trust the therapist.
Well, they can't trust anybody that's supposed to be, quote-unquote, protecting them. And all I can say is I totally recommend all of you go to Amy's website, uniteforlife.org, read what she has written on her website, and she is an example to all of you of what one person can do. Now, when is this vote supposed to go in front of the, corrupt Senate? And what can people do in the meantime to stop
this? It might be marked up in committee on the 30th of April, but it's been put off several times because they didn't have a quorum in the meeting. And there's one senator who's adamantly opposed to the bill. His name's Tom Coburn. He's from Oklahoma. He's a doctor, an OBGYN. And so they could call him and encourage him to continue opposing it, and then they need to call the Senate Health Committee members.
There's okay.
21 Health Committee members.
How do you spell his name? Because please
Coburn is C-O-B-U-R-N.
Okay.
And I also heard that Bingaman from New Mexico is opposed, but I don't have confirmation.
Okay. But that's what we have to do, is support the people who are standing up for truth and are coming out against
corruption. And it would be good for them to also call the others who are co-sponsors and ask them to withdraw their co-sponsorship and educate them. And many of the co-sponsors in the Senate are not on the committee, but I do have them all listed on my website as well.
Great. Well, Amy,
and I have their phone numbers there.
Okay. You are an example of what one person can do, as I said. And you are a heroine in this country. And your child is going to be very proud of his mom for what you have done. And like I said, if more people would get involved, there is nothing more important than our progeny and our generations to follow us. They are destroying us, but we can change it around in a heartbeat. So thank you so much for being on the show. I encourage you to keep on doing what you're doing. And after this vote goes forward in the Senate, I hope that you will be on the show again to let us know what happened and what excuses you get from those who are continuing to support it.
Okay, good. That sounds like a plan.
Okay.
Hopefully I won't vote for it, but I don't have too much, like, going against
right.
I don't know.
Well, as I always tell people, pray for the best, expect the worst, because
yeah.
we have been totally, you know, betrayed by all those who are supposed to be representing us. Okay,
yeah.
Folks, thank you for tuning in. Next week we're going to have an honest attorney on the show. Yes, hold on to your hats, Richard Fine, who has sued many corrupt governmental agencies. And for that service, he has lost his bar license. He will be sharing with you how that went down. Wake up, America. It's getting very late. But it's not too late to change things. In fact, we are changing things, and it's going to be funny how it all works out. God bless, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.